If you will turn with me to very, very familiar verse of scripture coming from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Very, very familiar. So please, sir, please, ma'am, indulge me. For those of you that have our church app, the notes are there. Please pardon me. I know the last couple of weeks it wasn't there. It is there today, so you can follow along today with the notes. So there are a lot of notes for you to take. But just bear with us on today as we celebrate. I think this is very important. So if you can, make sure you invite a friend. Make sure you start a watch party or whatever it is that you do. This is very important. So please indulge us on this morning as we go to this very, very familiar passage of scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, reading from the King James Version. It reads as follows. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fade away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Amen. With the help, the good Lord, and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to speak from the subject of two words. Why worry? Why worry? And I need you to pray for me this morning as we try to bring this into context, even though Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount over 2,000 years ago. It is relevant even today. Why worry? As we live in this pandemonious time dealing with COVID-19, there are a lot of questions that still remain to be answered. And there are a lot of those that are afraid, if you will, or anxious and have anxiety about taking the COVID-19 vaccine, whether to take it, whether or not to take it. There is unrest about will this help us get back to life as we once knew it. There's so much going on about the different strands that have now developed. Will we ever be able to hug our loved ones once again? Will we ever be able to gather in large numbers again? And so we're plagued each and every day about worrying about this and worrying about that. And so most of our day is consumed about the what if. We're consumed about maybe. And so, my brothers and sisters, God sent me with a message on why worry. Let's look at it, my brothers and sisters. There's really 3 points that I want to get to on today, but I really need you to be crystal clear in your convictions. If you are a child of God, if you're not a child of God, then there's some stuff that you must worry about. But if you are a child of God, God is making it crystal clear that there's some stuff that we need to get rid of. Look at it, my brothers and sisters. Number one, let's talk about the character of this worry. As we look at the first couple of verses, verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. When he talks about this, the subject of worry speaks of a wide range of emotion. Therefore, it is needful to understand the character of this worry problem which Christ is speaking of. And so we must define the problem. He says, take no thought. The particular emotion in this text about the Sermon on the Mount is the emotion of anxiety. It comes from the meaning of the word translated thought, and it's found six times in verses 25, 27, 28, and 31, and twice and in verse 34. It means anxious care. And so we define the problem thought as being anxious. And so then we distinguish the problem. He says, take no thought. The word thought translated means anxiety. Therefore, to distinguish this problem for what it appears from casual reading of the text, the reader needs to understand when the word thought appears, it means anxiety. And to fail to understand the meaning take no thought, and it can encourage reckless and carelessness of life. And what Christ is meaning, he says, is that don't get anxiety over certain things. So we have to characterize this worry, this character of worry. You got to understand the meaning. But not only is there a character, but number two, my brothers and sisters, as we really look at this, not only should we not have anxiety and get so bottled up, he also condemns worry. Look at it, the condemning of worry. He repeats it again. Look at verse number 25 again. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He begins to condemn this worry, the repetition of it. He says, take no thought. 3 times Christ made a firm statement condemning anxiety. Making a statement once is sufficient, but when Christ says something 3 times, you know that he is serious. He is telling us that it is very great, of great importance, that we don't get anxious or we don't become over anxious about something. And then, not the repetition, but the reason. Look what he does. I like this right here. If you don't write anything down, you need to write this down right here. You need to make sure you pay attention to me close, because he talks about the reason in which we worry about stuff. Look at it. He says, take no thought, or don't get anxious about, number one, what you should eat, or child. We used to use that word in the military, child. It's child time. So he says, don't get anxious about what you're gonna eat. Child, so don't worry about what you're gonna eat. But then, not only don't worry about your child, C-H-O-W. But then, number two, don't worry about your clothes. Your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. And then, number three, he also said, don't worry about the calendar. He tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. In other words, the future. So he says, don't get anxious about what you're going to eat. Don't get anxious about what you're going to wear. And don't get anxious about the future. In other words, we worry about stuff that we shouldn't worry about, because these are problems that they faced over 2,000 years ago, and we're still facing those problems today. So that's the region of condemnation. But why is the reason? He also gives us the reason for the condemnation. Christ supported his condemnation of anxiety or worry with some very good reasons. And the reason why he gives us, there's about eight of them. I'm going to try to hurry up through them. This is just good stuff. This is just, I'm fixing you a great meal today, so make sure you feast on this one. There's about eight reasons that he gives us the reason. Number one, first, it's fleshly. It's fleshly. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Anxiety concerns itself chiefly with the things of flesh. It does not get concerned with spiritual matters. See, back to the COVID-19 discussion. People are not worrying about COVID-19 because of the spiritual. Not a lot of people. Let me say that. Let me rephrase that. Not a lot of people are worrying about the spiritual implications of the COVID-19, but many people are worrying about it for the fleshly reason. But spiritually, you don't hear a lot of chatter about it, but the fleshly reason. So, number one, he condemns it because people get worried about the fleshly things. But not only does he condemns anxiety because we live mostly on our fleshly side and not our spiritual side. The second thing is forgetfulness. The forgetfulness of anxiety. He says, don't you realize, look at verse number 26. Verse number 26 says, behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather in barn, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? He says, you are forgetful. You're forgetful, and anxiety makes you forget. He says the fowls of the air are dependent on God's care, and he takes care of them. So not are you fleshly, you're forgetful, and then thirdly, you're foolish. You're foolish because he says, aren't you better than some birds? You're foolish because anxiety or worry will have your values mixed up. And so you will put your values more on animals than you will do on human beings. And I'm not saying anything against animal rights and think we need to take care of our animals and everything like that, but our human life, he said that he made the humans even higher than the angel. So the human life is of utmost importance. He says, haven't you considered the fowls of the air? I take care of them. Aren't you more important than them? So that's foolish. But then he says that the fourth thing, the futility of anxiety. Look at verse number 27. Oh Lord, I start feeling it right now. Look at verse number 27. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? The futility, it means that worry does not settle any problems. It doesn't do you any good. Matter of fact, it does only make it worse. He said, you can't do anything by worrying. It doesn't add any value. It's futile. Anxiety is futile. It doesn't produce anything. Then the fifth thing is the fearfulness of anxiety. Verse 28. And take ye no thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The fearfulness, he says, that when we think about clothes, he says, consider the lilies of the field. He clothed them. Don't you think he's going to clothe you? So why are you worrying about these things? Why are you fearful? Shall he not much clothe you? And verse 30 tells you the answer. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So my question, my brothers and sisters, why worry? I'm almost done. The sixth thing that I see as we look at this fear, worry is so afraid that it will not have the right clothes to wear. See, some people are afraid that they don't have clothes. Other people got so many clothes that they're afraid that they don't know what clothes to wear. And I'm trying to talk to somebody out there today. If you got that problem, that you got so many clothes that you don't know what clothes to wear, that you go into a panic mode, that it takes you more than 3 minutes to decide what you're going to wear, then you need to get rid of some of those clothes. I need to help somebody here today. The sixth thing is faithlessness. He says, O ye of little faith. And I believe that we worry so much because we don't have enough faith. And the Bible teaches now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Seven, the foulness of worry. He says, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. You see, worry or anxiety does not produce better character. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 34, it does not produce better character. Matter of fact, what it does, it produces evil conduct. And that leaves me with the eighth and final one. It is the finiteness of anxiety. It says that we realize that when you worry, you get worried about what's going to happen on the next day instead of worrying about what's happening today. And I need somebody to know that tomorrow is not promised. Do I have a witness? But verse 31 says that, verse 32 says that the Father knows that you have need of these things. And unlike God, we are not infinite. We are finite beings, but God is infinite. Do I have a witness? And God does the rest because he knows you need to eat. And he knows you need clothes. Do I have a witness? So you don't have to worry about those things. He knows that you need somewhere to lay down and sleep. Do I have a witness? So the question is, why worry? Well, let me give you the third point before I take off and take my seat. The last thing I see is the cure for the worry. Mm-hmm. And it's found in verse 33. The cure for the worry, he says, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. I like that verse because it says, if I seek God first, I don't have to get into the worry crowd. I just want to be in the seeking crowd. I don't know what I'm going to find, but if I seek him, it tells me that the Lord would diligently bless those, because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Do I have a witness? Instead of spending your time worrying about things that seldom matter much in life, we need to put our efforts into seeking things that matter more than anything else. At least we see four things that counters our anxiety and worry. First, we see the path in seeking. What's the path that we ought to seek? The first path we ought to seek is at first the kingdom of God. Do I have a witness? What's the kingdom of God, preacher? It means the will of God. And when we be in the will of God, it means that we spend more time with God, doing what God would have us to do. Second, we see the praise in the seeking. You see, the kingdom involves praise. Those who are busy honoring God don't get in the worry business. They get in the praise business, because the Bible says, let everything that had bread praise the Lord. And if you're praising, you can't be worrying. Y'all didn't catch that? You missed your shout cue. If you're praising, you can't be worrying at the same time. Who am I preaching to right now? He said, first, I gotta seek him. Second, I ought to praise him. And third, I see the pure. What do I ought to seek? His righteousness. Do I have a witness in here? His righteousness is his purity. When we spend our time seeking holiness of God for our life, it will starve our worry. What do you mean right there, preacher? When we seek his righteousness, it'll let us know all the blessings that God has for us. We won't have time to worry about the stuff that we don't have on this side, because the Bible will tell us all the promises of God. And the Bible says the promises of God is yea and amen. Do I have some help in the house today? And as I started off before, the fourth thing is his priority. You gotta put him first. Do I have a witness? Oh, shucks. You gotta put him first. This is the key to medicine working. Do I have a witness? I started off with the COVID, and I'm bringing you right back. In order for you to get your healing, you gotta take the medicine. Do I have a witness? If worry comes, we gotta take the medicine in order for it to work. What medicine must we take? The medicine that God has prescribed is the word of God. Am I right about it? He says, seek me first and my righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So some folks ask me, when the shot came out, pastor, are you going to get the shot? Preacher, are you going to get the shot? Son, are you going to get the shot? Husband, are you going to get the shot? Daddy, are you going to get the shot? I say, yes. I'm going to get in the shot. And the question was, why are you going to take a chance? I just said, I'm saved and I got salvation. And the only way something can happen to me is the Lord got to let it happen. I've been covered by his blood. And the only way anything can do something to me, the Lord got to do just like he did with Job. He got to take his protection off of me. I'm trying to help somebody in here, because he says, when I put him first, all of these things shall be added unto me. And that's why I don't have to worry. Well, let me get out of here. That's too heavy for a Sunday morning. But I got good news. It's in the Bible, because he told him, as he was on the mountain giving his sermon, he told you to take no thought of what you should eat and what you should wear. He told you to stop worrying about this and about that. And my question is, why should you worry? And I'm telling somebody today, why should you worry? You see, through simple operation, a simple observation, worry seems to be the favorite pastime of many people. I say that because they seem sure to do a lot of it. They do it on a regular basis. Never a day goes by without them worrying about somebody or about something. They worry about their aches and pains. They worry about their unpaid bills. They worry about job security. They worry about close relatives. They worry about their sinful past. They worry about daily responsibility, and they also worry about an uncertain future, along with a multitude of other much less important things. Did you know? I said, did you know that worry is hazardous to a person's health and welfare? Come here, get a little closer. I'm talking to you. Yes, you, the one that's staring at me and saying, preach, pastor. I'm a preach to you right now. Did you know that worry, it will upset your digestive system? It will disturb your sleeping pattern. It will hinder your concentration ability. It will limit your personal achievement. It will sap your physical strength. It will divert your intended person. It will stagnate your spiritual maturing process, because worry will consume energy. Energy you can't afford to exert on worrying. Worry will occupy time. Time you can't afford to spend on worrying. Worry will involve thoughts. Thoughts you can't afford to waste on worrying. Do I have a witness? So ask your neighbor, why should I worry if it's not conquered? Worry can become a noose around your neck. Worry can become a dagger in your heart. Worry can become a fever in your mind. Help me preach. Worry is a rock in your shoe. Worry is a thorn in your eye. Worry is a splinter in your hand. And worry is a snake in your bed. You will find no ease or no satisfaction or no benefit until you get rid of your worry. And the sooner the better. I said, why should you worry?
I gotta quit here because I've learned, Sister Zachary, that worry will have an effect on the decisions you make. Worry will have an effect on the performance on your job. Worry will have an effect on how you operate your vehicle, on how you spend your money. Worry will have an effect on your relationship with your family and your friends. And worry will also affect you on your times of relaxation. I tell you, in your church, let me talk to the church folk. I know I got a few church folk out there. In your church, worry will affect the way you testify to other people. Worry will affect the songs you sing of Zion. Worry will affect the way you teach a class. Worry will affect the way you pray around the altar. Worry will affect how you appear to others. And worry will affect how you give your tithes and your offering. And worry will affect how you worship the Lord. Worry is a cancer that you gotta get rid of. Is there anybody in the house today that says, I gotta get rid of my worry? I'm trying to quit, but the Holy Ghost then got his hold on me because of this virus called worry. This virus been going on a long time. It's worse than COVID-19, and we need to eradicate worry. If you look back over your life and ask yourself, be honest with me, has worry ever helped you solve a single problem? Has worry ever helped improve a single situation? Have worry ever stretched a single dollar? Have worry ever eased a single pain? Have worry ever bared a single burden? Have worry ever paid a single bill? Have worry ever supplied a single need? And the answer is, if you don't lie to me, the answer is no, it hasn't. So then why keep worrying? Worry, has worry ever put joy in your soul? Has worry ever put peace in your mind? Has worry ever put life in your testimony? Has worry ever put food on your table? Has worry ever put shoes on your feet? Has worry ever put clothes on your back? Has worry ever put satisfaction in your life? If not, why are you worrying? I gotta quit. I said I gotta quit, but I feel somebody in Zoom world that say keep on going. I feel my Facebook crowd coming on in. Well, get a little closer. This last section is for you. Although, and hear me clearly, although you may worry about your children, that still won't make them behave. Do I hear a witness? Although you may worry about your finances, that still won't pay the bills. Although you may worry about your valuables, that still won't keep them safe. And although you may worry about your job, that still won't make it secure. And although you may worry about your help, that still won't improve it one bit. And although you may worry about your past, that still won't change a single thing. And although You may worry about your future. That won't change a single thing. So the question is why do you worry? Worry will not strengthen you. It will weaken you. It won't calm you. It will torment you. It won't inspire you. It will depress you. It won't satisfy you. It'll frustrate you. It won't assist you. It'll provoke you. It won't refresh you. It'll harass you. So once again, why will you worry? And I gotta go. You see, because worry is not an asset. It's a debit. It's not a blessing. It's a burden. It's not a delight. It's a sorrow. It's not fulfillment. It's emptiness. It's not freedom. It's bondage. It's not help. It's a hindrance. It's not an opportunity. It's an obstacle. So why are you worrying? Well, what you need to do instead of worrying, I encourage you to put your trust in Jesus. He'll take care of you. Put your problems in his hands. He'll take care of it. Put your children in his care. He'll do what's best. Put your adverse situation, whatever it may be, at his feet and watch him work on your behalf. If he can take care of the birds of the air, then he can take care of you. If he can provide for the beasts of the field, then he can provide for you. If he can beautify the lands with flowers, then he can beautify your life as well. If he can refresh the earth with rain, then he can revive and refresh your soul. If he can control the wind and the wave, then he can control your situation. And he can control, and if he can cause the sun to shine and the moon to glow, then I believe he can do wonders with your life as well. And if he can know the number of the stars and call them by name, then he also, say it with me, if he know the stars by name, that lets me know the Lord knows my name. And since the Lord knows my name, he can meet my needs. So I've declared on this day, the last day of February, the 28th of 2021, I'm not worrying. I'ma let God have it. He can have it, cause he can handle it. I tried it for myself, and I did a bad job. I messed it up over and over again. I'm through with it. I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself, but I'm giving it to the Lord, cause I'm tired of worrying. The Lord can have it. If that's your prayer, say yes. 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 Oh.